Welcome to Guided Way Ministries with Pastor Alan Rogers. In a fast-growing cold world, this message offers you the bread of life and an opportunity to drink from the fountain of living water. In this message, you will hear only the truth, and if you do not want to listen to it, turn it off. If you are hungry for revelation in the Word of God, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, if you are looking to be spiritually uplifted, be willing to listen, and listen with all your attention. For what you will hear in this message is not carnal but spiritual. We hope you are blessed, edified, and fully rejuvenated in your spirit to continue with everyday life.
Well, peace be unto you all. I thank God for all he's done for us. I thank him for his many blessings. I thank him for his mighty outstretched hand. God has been very, very good to us. Today we're going to be talking a little bit about prayer. The Bible says that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So we're going to be looking at what is an effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. The Bible says that men are to always pray and not to faint. There is power in prayer. The Bible talks about how Jesus went up the mountain and prayed all night long. And he told his disciples, he said, "Can't you watch and pray with me 1 hour?" You know, prayer is so important. There's power in prayer. Prayer changes things. We're going to be reading out of James, the 5th chapter. I'll be reading that one and the 13th verse. Then we're going to Matthew 5:17, John 6:27 through 29, Proverbs 10:11, and then jump down to verse 21, Hebrews 11:6, Psalm 64:1, and Matthew 17:17 through 21. Let us rise. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for another day. Thank you, my God, for your many blessings. Thank you for your mighty outstretched hand. My Father, thank you for being with us in this service today, O Lord God. And Lord, continue to bless. Let this word go forth and let it be planted upon good ground, my God. And let us bring forth 100-fold. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 The Bible says in the book of James, the 5th chapter, starting at the 13th verse, it says, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." It goes on to say that Elias was a man subject to like passion as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth fruit. There is a lot of power in prayer. There's so much power in prayer that that's one reason the devil always tries to discourage us when it comes time to pray. Think about it. Every time, well, I know for me, when I'm going to pray, I get tired. Sleepy. I mean, I kneel down, and that's a good place to take a nap. And I start praying during the day, and I got so many thoughts that go on in my head, and just whatever to get you off of praying. But then you can think of something different that's not about God, and you can rewind that whole scenario over and over and over again. What I should have said, what I could have said, what possibly could have happened. But then when it comes time to giving God some time, you can't put it on circle. You think about a verse for a couple seconds, and you got all these things going on. We need to learn to start rebuking those thoughts, whether they look big, good, or bad. When it's time to spend time with God, we need to start rebuking everything else that comes in the way. I don't care if it's very important, but the time that we pick to be with God, we need to let that time be with God and just push away everything else that comes to hinder us. Because it'll happen when you're going to church. It'll happen when you're going to pray. It'll happen when you're going to read. Something always comes up. I was talking to a person not too long ago, and I got tired of their excuses. And every time I would invite them to church, I would, but that. And I told them, I said, you know what? If you're waiting for the perfect opportunity, you'll never go to church. Because every time you're going to go to church, something will come up. And if you let it, it will continue and continue and continue. Years later, you'll never see the inside of a church if you keep letting stuff get in the way. But sometimes you just have to say, I'm going to do this, period, no matter what comes up. I'm going to do this. And just spend that time with God. And one of the most important things is prayer. The word effectual, the Bible says that the effectual, which means with energy, strong, to be active and to show forth. So when you are active in Christ, which means you give your time, spend your time reading and praying and meditating, talking to Jesus, going over the scriptures, sharing the love of God with somebody else. When you are actively being a child of God, doing things that edify the body of Christ, then your prayer can be more fervent, it can be more powerful, because you're not just sitting down doing nothing. When you are active in the Word of God, then he said, let your light so shine that men will see your good works, which means you're not sitting down, you're not folding your hands, you're not just letting things happen like things happen, but you are actively seeking the Lord. That's what effectual means. We cannot be lazy. But Jesus said, I must work while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. We're going to Matthew 5:17.
Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. I must work the works of him that hath sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world.
We must work while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. There's going to come a time that Jesus is going to call us home and our work is done. So if we don't get it right today, if we don't work while it is called today, when Jesus calls us home, that's too late. When Jesus says it is your time, the man said, I have so many goods. I will tear down my barns and I will build new barns. And then I will say to my soul, soul, lay back and rest. But Jesus said, thou fool, this night thy soul is required of you. We need to work while it is day. How does it look when we go to God and we pray for something, but we have not spent time with God all week long? You don't have an effectual prayer. You don't have a prayer that will avail much. You don't have anything. You're only going to God when you need something. But the whole rest of the time, you're doing any and everything that satisfies the flesh. But when you spend time with God, he said, I hear you before you call. Why? Because you are with him. And I answer while you're yet speaking. He just always answers us. We don't even have to say anything. When I went off the road and I ran out of gas, I didn't have to pray for a ride or anything. I called Adam, but when I was talking to him, she already came. He said, I hear you before you call. He already knew I wasn't going to make it to the gas station. I thought I was, but he already knew I wasn't. That lady left her house at the perfect time to meet me where I needed somebody to pick me up. He knows everything that we're going to do, what's going to happen, period. So if we spend time with Jesus, we don't have to always worry about our problems, because we know Jesus already has them under control. All we got to do is spend time with him. That's all we got to do, is stay with the Lord. We're going to John 6:27-29.
Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do, that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent.
And I was one verse off. It was Matthew 5:16 instead of 17. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And so now in the book of John, he's telling them how to do the work of God. How to stay active in God is by believing in his Son, Jesus Christ. Believing doesn't mean just believe that Jesus is real, but believing means believe everything that he said, every commandment that he gave us, every time he talked to his disciples, and especially the commandment that he said, Behold, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. If we love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love each other as ourselves, we will fulfill all of the rest of the laws and the commandments, because though they all hang on those two commandments. He said, This is the work of God. You want to stay active on God? Believe Jesus. Believe the word of God. Believe what you read. You cannot just read the Bible and then just call it a day. You have to believe what it says, and then you have to apply it to your life, and this will be doing the work of God. You will be active and not just sitting stagnant. You will be active. You will have energy, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. So when you spend time with God, you will have the joy of the Lord, and your prayer will be effectual. The Bible says the effectual fervent. Fervent means without ceasing. Jesus tells us a parable about the unjust judge. He said, I don't fear God. He didn't care about anything but what he was doing. But the lady, she didn't stop. She went constantly asking the same thing. And he said, I'm going to do it, because if I don't, she's going to weary me. And she will not stop. And so he did. He gave her what she wanted. And Jesus said, How much more your heavenly Father will give you if you constantly ask him. If you're always seeking him. If you're always saying, Lord, I want more wisdom. I want to get to know you just a little bit more. I want to spend more time with you. I want to understand you more. You think he's not going to, after a while, give you what you've been asking for? Every gift of the fruit of the Spirit, he will give it to you if we keep on asking. Every single day, fervent means to pray without ceasing. It means to be hot. The Bible said, I would you be hot or cold, for lukewarm I will spew you out. He cannot stand somebody that's on the fence, somebody that's doing good and then doing bad and then doing good. He cannot stand that. He said, choose one. Be hot or be cold. Don't be in the middle. But when you are hot and you have the Holy Ghost and fire, your prayers are strong. He said, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will do it. He's not going to leave you alone. When you are spending time with him, when you are active in his word, when you are giving everything that you got, when you are constantly asking. And another thing, a fervent means earnest. And earnest means with sincerity. Sometimes we pray, but we're really not that sincere when we're praying. Sometimes we pray out of habit. Sometimes we pray just because we know we're supposed to pray. But Jesus listens to those prayers. You don't need an hour-long prayer. It's good to pray an hour, but you don't need an hour-long prayer. You need a sincere prayer. The Bible tells us about two men that went up to the altar to pray. And one of them said, God, I thank you that I am not like this guy over here. I fast twice a week. I give to the poor. I do this and I do that. And the other one, the Bible says, he didn't even bother to look up to heaven. He didn't have an hour-long prayer. He only had a few words. Have mercy on me, a sinner. That was all he did. But it was sincere. And Jesus said he went justified. I will justify a sincere prayer. I will hearken and listen to a sincere prayer. It doesn't matter how short or how long the prayer is. As long as it's sincere, he will answer it. Or you can pray for hours and it's not sincere, and that's all you're doing is praying. He told us about those. Don't go stand on the corners and make long prayers. I don't listen to that. I listen to sincerity. The broken and a contrite heart, God will not despise. I don't listen to much speaking. I listen to sincerity. There's a verse when we're going to get to it in Psalm 64. Man, it really got my attention. I hope it grabs you guys like it grabbed me. I never saw it before. But we have to be sincere when we pray. He said the fervent prayer, the effectual fervent prayer. Prayer means a request. Prayer does not mean that you got to pray and pray and pray and pray all hours and hours. It doesn't mean that. It means a request. You can ask God, Lord, please have mercy on me, a sinner. And that is a prayer in the sight of God, rather than some long prayer that didn't mean anything. You can let your request be made known unto the church. You can let your request be made known to God. When Queen Esther went before King, when Esther went over there, she made a request. But her request was fulfilled. She got what she wanted, not exactly what she wanted, but she got very close to what she wanted, and the end result ended up being what she wanted. The king didn't do it the way she wanted it done, but the way he did it ended up giving her the same results. She wanted deliverance from the Jews, and she said, will you go ahead and reverse what you said? And he said, I can't reverse what I said, but what I can do is do this, let them fight for themselves and give them a little bit of help, and they will be delivered anyway. So when we pray, a prayer is a request. It is a whisper. It is a private prayer. When you go into your closet and you shut your door and you pray before God, you don't need to be all loud sometimes. Sometimes you don't know how to be loud. Sometimes you're just in your little closet and you really don't even know how to pray. You just know you need something. But God listens to that fervent little prayer on the inside that you don't know how to let come out. Because Jesus said you don't know how you ought to pray, but the Spirit makes intercession for you. So sometimes we have no idea what to pray for. We just know we're hurting. We just know we need the pain to stop. We just know we need the battle to be won, but we don't know what to ask for. But if you just get down on your knees and be sincere with God, he will answer what you really need. The word fervent means, or the word prayer means, to entreat. You can entreat for somebody. You can go to prayer for somebody else. Not always just for yourself. You can pray for somebody. And if you have an effectual, fervent prayer for somebody, it will be answered. You can entreat for somebody. The word prayer also means to meditate. When you meditate on God, it's classified as a prayer because you're just you and him, just thinking of how good he is, thinking where he brought you from, thinking of everything that he's done for you. That's a way of giving him glory and honor and praise, and he classifies that as a prayer as well. If prayer means to speak, to ask for a petition, to make a supplication, and to worship. All of these fall under the category of prayer. So the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The word righteous means straight, upright, just, equity, the equity of being fair and impartial. It means innocent, holy, fair, and impartial in character or act. When you do these things, you will begin to have a more strong prayer when you pray. When you kneel down and you begin to pray, and you are not partial, you are not judgmental, you are not praying, but you're really kind of meaning something else on the inside. Lord, bless these people, but really you're saying, Lord, will you please get them?
I have to pray that I bless them and I can't curse them, but I really want you to get them. We can't have those kind of prayers. When we pray sincerely, Lord, bless these people, the ones that have hurt me, the ones that have lied, the ones that have deceived me. If you would just bless them, give them love that they will be able to show love to others. Forgive them that they will be able to forgive others. Forgive me so that I can forgive other people. If you have a sincere prayer, it will be answered. Sincere also means when we pray for somebody, we pray, Lord, heal these people, but we really don't believe that God will do it right then. We're kind of more of praying in a hope, more of a beg situation than a praying God's going to heal you. It's not really a sincere prayer. It's more of a, Lord, I really wish that this would happen. Jesus said that's not going to happen. God don't listen to those. He listens to the fervent prayer. He listens to the sincere prayer. He listens to it when you are honest about your prayer that you are praying. That's when God listens. And then he says that prayer will avail much. You know what the word avail, it means equalize. You're having a bad situation and you're going against your enemies. And the Bible says that sometimes the children would face their enemies and they were outnumbered. They were like the sand of the sea. And Gideon went to fight them and it was only 300 men. But the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man equalized the battlefield until he had the upper hand. No matter how bad it looks, if you pray sincerely, God will equal it out. And you will win. He said, I will not suffer no more to come upon you than you're able to bear. But some of us are falling because we don't have that sincere prayer like, Lord, I want to stand and face till the end. I don't care what it is. Give me the victory. If you really mean that, he will equalize the playing field. He will make it where you can win because the battle is already won. It belongs to God. The word availeth means to resemble. He will let us resemble the king. Our prayer will resemble the prayers of David, the prayers of Jesus, the prayers of the disciples. Our prayers, if we have effectual, fervent prayer and we are righteous, our prayers will resemble the prayers of a godly man and they will be answered. Our prayers don't get answered sometimes because they don't resemble a godly man. They're not the prayer of faith. They're a prayer of hope and wish. And we need to pray the prayer of faith. It means to adjust. It means suitable. Avail means to force something into place. It means to prevail. It means to be of strength. So when you have the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, it will avail much. It'll set things in order. It'll force things to go your way. It'll equalize the battlefield. It will make things suitable for you. It goes on and on and on. And all you gotta do is have a sincere prayer. That song says, just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. You just need that little talk with Jesus and it'll make it okay. He said men ought to always pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. He said pray without ceasing. We're going to Proverbs 10, 11 through 21.
The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked.
And 21.
The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom.
When you are a righteous man, when you don't have respect of person, when you live your life the best you can with God, when you are active in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, your mouth will be a life and wells of water to people. Your lips will help people. Everything that comes out of your mouth will be a blessing to somebody. The Bible says that life and death are in the power of the tongue. But when you are righteous and when you do the best you can and you are active in Jesus and you really pray a sincere prayer, they avail much. You could help your family, your children, your loved ones, your saved, unsaved ones, the sinners, the lost people. You could pray for them. You could pray for anything you want. And he said, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will do it. Lord, save that sinner and he will make a way for that sinner to find him because you made intercession for that person. because he listens to the prayers of the righteous. We're going to Hebrews 11:6.
But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
We have to believe. We have to believe. The only way we can have a sincere prayer is if we believe. You can't have a sincere prayer if you don't believe. Because when you go to Jesus and you start praying, Lord, will you please heal this person? And you kind of don't think he will. That's not a sincere prayer, and it's not going to happen. But when you believe and you know that Jesus said, if I go and I ask, he will give it to me. He said, I will keep sickness away from you. He said, ask and it shall be given. He said, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, there am I. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. If we believe, our prayers will be fervent. They will avail much. But we have to believe. We can't just say that God is real. We have to believe that God is real. We have to know that when we go before the throne of grace, he has his arms wide open. He's waiting to listen to us. He said the eyes of the Lord go to and fro to see who he can show himself strong on the behalf of. He's waiting to help us. So if he doesn't help us, there's our problem, not his. We didn't pray a fervent prayer. We weren't sincere enough when we prayed, because he's ready to help. He's ready to deliver. He's ready to set free. Psalm 64:1.
Hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy.
Did you hear what that said? I don't think you guys got that. Psalm 64. Read that again.
Hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy.
See, he's saying, hear my voice in my prayer. Don't just listen to the prayer that's coming out. Listen to the reason that I'm here praying. We don't know how we ought to pray, but the Spirit makes intercession. And David is saying, Lord, I don't know how to speak to you. I don't know how to pray the right words. But if you will please just listen to the voice in my prayer, the one that's crying out that I don't know what it's even saying. If you will listen to that one, then it will be fervent. I might fall on my knees and cry a whole bunch of things, but that's not what I really needed. But if you would just listen to the reason that I'm here, not what's coming out of these lips, but pay attention to why I'm saying what I'm saying. Pay attention to the reason I even got to this place. And then those prayers will be answered, because the Spirit makes intercession. Jesus knows that little voice that we can't let out because we don't know how. When we're hurting and we're crying and we're in pain and we don't know how to fix it, but Jesus does. See, they took this man and they let him down through the roof, and they were hoping that Jesus healed him. But see, Jesus didn't just listen to the cry that they were wanting. He listened to the voice of the reason why they were there. And the reason they were there is because that man's sin had got him to that place. So instead of Jesus just saying, get up and go thy way, he said, let me forgive you so it doesn't happen again. That was the little voice that was in the prayer that they didn't get out. They were just looking for healing. But Jesus said, no, the reason you are this way is because of what you've done. So if I answer to that little voice that's inside your prayer, then your prayer will be answered. If I just answer your prayer, it's just going to take care of the problem then. But it's not going to take care of the root. And you're going to go back and do the same thing. And you're going to end up in the same position. But if I dig that root up, that plant won't grow again. This is what we need to pray. Lord, listen to the prayer, the voice of my prayer that's in there. The one I don't know how to say. When I don't know how to talk to you. When I don't have the words to say. Listen to me anyway. Listen to the unspoken words that I can't get out. And answer them according to your will. And then we will see the move of God. When we have an effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, they will avail much. We're going to Matthew 17:17-21.
Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said,
why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting.
Sometimes you could believe, but if you don't pray and fast enough, there's some things that will not move. There's some spirits that won't move. There's some sicknesses that will not move, except you pray and fast a lot. You can believe, and Jesus said, this time you didn't do it because you didn't believe. Nevertheless, even if you did believe, this one won't move, except through fasting and praying. Sometimes we pray to God and we ask the Lord and we believe and we know that God can, and we do really believe when we pray, but God's not answering, not because he's not answering, but that situation won't move because you have not given your life to fasting and praying. So your answers are limited, but when you give yourself to fasting and praying, there is no limit to what you can ask for. The Bible says that the enemies of the children of Israel, that there will not be a man that can stand before you. When you give your life to fasting and praying, there's not a devil that can stand before you. You can do anything through the power of the Holy Ghost when you give yourself to fasting and praying. We could do a lot, but we could do all of it if we give ourselves to fasting and praying. Praying, there's just something about praying. There's so much power in prayer. There's so much power in fasting to just push things away and just spend time with God. I'm going to do a play one of these Sundays. It's going to be a short play, but it's going to be kind of cool. To show, because a lot of times we can understand better if we see than if we just hear. But it's going to be a play to show the importance of spending time with God. It's important to spend time with God, not just spend time with God when we're at work and we're praying and we're singing. That's really good. But it's good to spend that quality time with God, just one-on-one, you and God. It's the best thing that builds relationships, that builds friendships, that builds trust, that builds confidence. You can get to know somebody if you spend some quality time with that person. If you're only spending time with them, with your coworkers, you don't really know your coworkers. You might spend time with them every day, but you don't really know your coworkers. Let one of them move into the house and it'll be a whole totally different person. A lot of things you probably don't even like about that person, but you didn't know because you only went to work with them. That's the same way it is as praying and being with God when you're doing something. It's nice, but you don't really get to know who Jesus is and what he can do until you spend that quality time with just you and God. And then you get to know him and he gets to know you. Then you can ask whatever you will. And it's almost like some people, especially parents and children, you almost can say what they're thinking. Don't do that. What? You know what they were going to go do. They didn't have to say nothing. And you know what they were going to do. The same thing with Jesus. I know what he wants. I'm just going to give it to him. You don't even have to ask sometimes because he knows if you spend that time with him. If you don't spend that time with him, he still knows because he's God. But now you really have to ask because you don't just spend that quality time with him. Let's get it together, saints. Let's pray more. Let's fast more. Let's be more intimate with God so that we can pray for these people that are bound and sick and delivered and lost, and we can pray for them. We can make intercession for them. We can intercede for them. We can see God work in their lives more than what he already is doing. And I want to see him work more. And I know he can work more. And he wants to work more. We just got to let it. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Yeah. to be, O God, both now and forever. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Blessed be the name of the Lord. My Father, I thank you for being so good to us. My Father, I thank you for all that you have done. My Father, keep us in perfect peace with our minds set on you and the will surrendered to you in the name of Jesus. My Father, bless us to act on everything that you tell us to do. Every time you tell us to do something, Lord, let us do it immediately. Lord, when we're sitting in the house and you put it on our hearts to do something, let us do it immediately. When we're sitting in the house and you put it on our hearts not to do something, Lord, don't let us do it. In Jesus' wonderful mighty name, my Father, to order our steps in your word. In Jesus' wonderful mighty name, my Father, set your path straight before us and help us to walk therein. In Jesus' wonderful mighty name, my Father, protect us, protect our houses, protect our cars, protect our jobs, protect the places we go to, and send your angels to encamp round about us and to teach us. Let the Holy Ghost lead us into all truth.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus.
Let the Holy Ghost lead us to all truth, my God. In Jesus' wonderful name, fill us with the Holy Ghost of fire. Baptize us with the Holy Ghost of fire. And let the Holy Ghost move and reign in our bodies, my God.
Yes, in Jesus' name. Yes.
In the mighty name of Jesus, my Father, let the Holy Ghost continue to talk to us. Continue to lead us. Continue to guide us when we read your word, my God. Lord, hallelujah. Let us understand what we read. Let us apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name. You said that I'm looking for someone to stand in the gap for my people. And Lord, we come before you in one accord, my God. Asking for Javi's sister, that you will heal her.
Yes, Jesus.
My Father, in the same hour, oh Lord God, that whatever it is, you know what an aneurysm is. You know why it got there. Listen to the voice of our prayers. If we don't know how to say, my God, and let the Holy Ghost move and heal her from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. You said the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Yes, 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 Lord.
My Father, let us be classified as righteous in your eyes, that you will heal in Jesus' name.
Yes, Jesus, yes.
Glory be to God in the highest. My God, I thank you for what you've done. I thank you for healing his sister. I thank you for your healing power. I thank you for the keeping power. I thank you, my God, for the precious Holy Ghost. I thank you, my God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Because you always answer us. You always lift us up. You always make a way where there seems to be no way. My God, I thank you for your healing power. I thank you for all that you have done, my God.
Yes, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you.
My God, you are worthy to be praised.
So worthy, so worthy.
You are King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Yes, Jesus.
My Father, we just want to say thank you for all that you have done. Thank you for answering our prayers. Thank you for looking upon us. Thank you for taking care of us. Thank you for leading us. Thank you for guiding us. Thank you for watching over us.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
And with your stripes, she is healed in the name of Jesus.
The Holy Ghost.
Lord, I thank you and I praise you, my God, for all that you have done. You are God, and besides you, there is no God. Lord, I thank you for being so good to us. My Father, Father, keep us. Keep us under the shadows of your wings until the danger passes by, my God. And bless us to do your will. Mold us and make us after thy will. Make us fit for the kingdom in Jesus' name. Make us fit for your use in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you and I praise you.
Jesus, thank you, thank you, thank you.
My Father, watch over these children, oh Lord God.
Yes, yes.
Watch over each and every child, my God. Bless them and keep them. My Father, justify them and sanctify them in the name of Jesus. Lord, let your blood prevail and protect the children in Jesus' wonderful mighty name. Lord, let us all do what you want us to do in Jesus' name. Keep all of us from the evil that it may not grieve us in Jesus' wonderful mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, my God.
Thank you, Jesus,
for all that you have done. Thank you for these precious moments. Thank you for gathering us together one more time. Lord, thank you for being with us, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we praise you and let the church say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
For his mercy
endureth
forever. In the name of Jesus, thank you, my God.
Thank you, thank you.
Glory be to God. Amen and amen.
The word of God that you have heard and received with an open heart, to live it out actively with all of your being, will yield you a bountiful return. Thank you for listening to this message, as I hope it has been a blessing to you. Our goal is to show you the path of life and an opportunity of a lifetime. It is Christ's love and support that makes this opportunity possible. Please visit Guided Way Ministries online for more products, partnership, or to join. Visit us on Anchor to become a listener supporter. May God bless you, may he keep you, may he shine his face always upon you, and may he forever keep you in peace.